Cougar fans, it is time.
Touchdown! What a grab!
It's time to raise your colors, raise your voice, and join in on the raucous roundtable about your favorite team, the BYU Cougars.
20, 15, 10, 5, touchdown!
It's time to tailgate. Cougar Tailgate, where BYU sports fandom lives. And here's your host, Lauren McClain.
What's up, Cougar Nation? I'm Lauren McClain, and we're here to tailgate with you, doing what we do best, talking all things BYU Cougars. For this week's roundtable discussion, we have former BYU football standouts wide receiver Mitch Juergens. What's up, Mitch?
Hey.
And defensive back Brian Logan.
What's going on?
I'd be low. Thanks for being here with me, guys. Spring football wrapped up a couple of weeks ago, so now there's a little bit of a dead period before summer workouts. So I ran into yesterday at Mod Pizza, one of my favorite places to go, ran into Parker Kingston, Ethan Erickson, and one other guy. They were in front of me, and I'm like, I know those guys. I talked to those guys. And I was like, what are you guys doing? Like, what are you doing now? And they're like, well, we're doing a lot of golf. We're golfing a lot. He's like, we do work out in the morning. But yeah. So I want to know, what did you guys do with that time in between spring and summer workouts, sir, Mitch?
Yeah, it's an interesting time because it's such a dead, almost like a dead zone.
Yeah.
All students go home or they do internships and they're getting different experience. But as a player, you're still there because you're reporting to the facilities for workouts and practice. And so we did a lot of the same thing. I mean, I played a lot of golf. I think I became my best golfer in the summer. What else did I do?
That's kind of like the best sport to not get hurt, right? Yeah. You're like, we can't get hurt, but I still want to compete in something.
Yeah, right. looked for some other avenues of income. One of the weird ones was I was a umpire for some baseball games, nice. For some little league baseball games. Those get intense. Some of the parents of these 9-year-old baseball teams, a little bit too intense than it should be at that age. But
did any of them realize who you were though? So they like come to yell at you and they're like, oh wait.
No, I think at that point I don't think I had as recognizable as a face as maybe it could have been. But you know, you do things like that. But I think the big focus is just getting your body healthy and ready for the season. I mean, it's an opportune time to make sure that when fall camp starts and you start to ramp up that workload, your body's got to be ready to go. And so working on a lot of injury prevention stuff, flexibility, speed, explosion, those were big focuses for me, but also taking the time to get right with the quarterback. As a receiver, it's all about timing. It's all about chemistry. And that doesn't happen right when fall camp kicks off.
Right.
You've got summer. That's why we're still there. That's why we practice, or at least your player run practices, things like that. And so it's just a really good opportunity to make sure that everybody's speaking the same language on the offense. You've got that connection. Timing is right. So then when things do, you bring in the entire offense. You do some live reps that you're as prepared as you possibly can be.
Bilo, what about you? What'd you do during that time?
I went to a lot of parties.
Okay. Polar opposites here.
I think the biggest thing was getting healthy. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's just an overall, general, goal for an athlete. Because you're coming off of spring ball, right? So you're still, it's not as physical, but you still have some, you're still nicked up. And with me, I actually had surgery. Mm. I always remember I had double hernia surgery. And the week of, I found out that I had two hernias. So I was playing my junior year. Well, I was playing my sophomore year at my junior college, and then my junior year, I was playing with it. And the first week of spring ball, I go into Bronco's office. I'm like, yo, I'm out. I can't play. I got two hernias. And he goes, do you think you not participating in spring ball is going to help or hurt the team?
You're like, what, my hernias?
I didn't even answer. I just turned back around and said, I'll see you at practice today, coach.
That's such a Bronco.
Right? Right? I was like, wait a minute. The psychology that this guy uses. So
you were way too excited to tell him you were going to be participating.
Oh, I was bragging. Look, see, this is how karma gets you. I was bragging to all my teammates like, I got to practice. I don't have to do nothing. I'm about to be out. But so I spent a lot of time doing recovery. And not as much parties, a lot of it too was going over film, me and Andrew Rich and Brandon Bradley, Corby Eason, everybody in the secondary, got together and we watched film like crazy. film. And then in the summertime, you know, it's player run practices. So you take, you know, that film study that you have with your guys, and then you try to apply that, you know, to on the field. But yeah, working out, getting individual, you know, workouts, you know, trying to find personal trainers, right? Because you can't really have your coaches. You have the strength coaches or whatnot, but, you know, trying to find that extra edge. How can I get faster? How can I get bigger? How can I get stronger? So it's really a strategic, you know, time frame that you have to take, you know, your game to the next level.
Well, BYU football opens with Southern Illinois on August 31st at Lavelle Edwards Stadium. Kalani said the starting quarterback won't be announced until fall camp begins, and this is what he said.
Yeah, well, I think the key is seeing the type of character you have in both quarterbacks that are competing, the way they handle it. I mean, you can see that they're working together. They talk often, and they're good friends. And so I think they're setting the example. The rest of the team, it's they've seen it. I mean, that's we have best friends fighting for a position, for a starting spot, so that's okay.
Ooh. So Kalani also said that his team is mature enough to handle a quarterback competition for the next few months, which is why coaches weren't in a hurry to name one. Do you guys think that's true? Does it cause division amongst the players during the summer? Because you were mentioning it's good to have that chemistry with your quarterback as a wide receiver during the summer. Do you think it causes division to not have a starting quarterback named before fall camp?
No, I don't. At least for the players, it doesn't. In my opinion, it doesn't. I was actually part of a couple quarterback battles, per se, in the offseason. The last one was going into my senior year. They didn't announce that Taysom versus Tanner, Tanner Mangum, Taysom Hill. And we didn't know, but it was still an opportunity for everybody to get reps. And that's the benefit. You have so much time as your luxury in the summer. Regardless of who you're getting reps with, you'll have enough time, even if there's a quarterback battle, to build chemistry with both quarterbacks. And you start to get a feel for how they throw the ball, how their ball comes out of their hand, and just to make sure that everybody's on the same page. So I think it's healthy. You want your quarterbacks performing at your best, and I'm a big believer that competition is going to get those quarterbacks at their best. So I think it can be a positive for the team to let those guys battle it out. I would be curious from the, you know, a coaching call perspective, I would imagine they have a plan. They have a plan on who the starting quarterback is, which I have my opinions.
I can't wait to hear.
But they're not going to announce it for those reasons, right? You want to get those guys competing, put forth their best foot forward. And the minute you announce a quarterback, I mean, things always can change. And that's the beauty of summer, of when fall camp kicks off. Like, they could announce a starting quarterback for day one of practice in fall camp, but if the quarterback's not doing the job, then they'll make a switch. So, so I think there's benefits of not announcing it.
And I think you mentioned the competition. I think that's the main reason they brought in Gary Bohannon, was to give Jake Retzlaff a little bit of a push in that starting spot. Yeah. Bilo, from your perspective, do you think it matters?
I think it does cause division, but not in a way where it's going to tear a locker room apart. Yeah. Right. At the end of the day,
everyone has their favorite. Like, I want this guy, I want this guy.
Yeah, exactly. So it does, you do pick your favorite. But at the end of the day, if your favorite isn't the starter, well, we still got to go and play, right?
Yeah.
So it's not going to – it's not like we're going to boycott. Like, oh, he's not – like, Jake's not starting. I'm not playing this week. Like, it's not – we don't – it doesn't work that way. I was a part of my senior year, Riley Nelson and Jake Heaps, you know, when Jake came in. Jake came in early. So he graduated early, was able to participate in spring ball. And I didn't get in trouble, but I started a new media rule because during practice, somebody in the media had asked me in an interview, you know, what I think about the quarterbacks. And I just went all in on Jake. I was like, I love Jake. He has, you know, he has this above Riley. Like, I was like, and they sat back and they were looking at me like, what are you talking, like my teammates, like, what are you saying right now? Did you not go through media training? So, and this was fall camp. So Bronco comes in the next day and he goes, you know, your opinion on your teammates is, you know, stays within these walls. And we can no longer, this is a set rule for the team, we're no longer answering questions about the quarterbacks. I told media not to ask you guys about the competition, and I'm telling you guys, don't say anything. And I was sitting in the front row, right? I was sitting down. I lifted my leg. I'm looking back, and I'm like, "What idiot did that?"
Which one of you did that?
And then Coach Hill, when we get into our defensive meeting, he goes, "Thank you, Brian. You're the one." I was like, "What? It was me." So I say this a little bit even further. I had was so all in on Jake, he was my favorite, that I used to drop interceptions. When he threw them to me, I took it that far.
Whoa.
I would drop interceptions. And one day he threw one to me and I ended up catching it. And he came over to me, after I caught it. He's like, "You weren't supposed to do that." And I was like, "Well, stop throwing it my way, man. Dang, throw the brand aside." But I mean, that's how.
That kind of made you look very good if you're dropping interceptions.
Oh, well, I was already a starter. There's, I said this humbly. Gosh, nobody was going to take my spot, So.
We need a segment, The Confessions of Brian Logan.
This is learning a lot.
Whoa.
Of stuff
that's kind of deep, good. Huh?
It is deep.
To go that
it
far.
It is deep. Wow. All right. Offensive coordinator Aaron Rodgers said the Cougars won't be looking for a quarterback when the transfer portal opens up, believing he has all the guys he needs, which means he will either go with incumbent starter Jake Retzlaff or USF transfer Gary Bohannon to start the season. Western Michigan transfer Trayson Bourget made strides to possibly be the third quarterback on the depth chart, and I know coaches liked what they saw from him. There are 9 quarterbacks on the depth chart, and that's after Nick Billups entered the portal. So there were 10 entering spring ball. So, yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for coaches to have to kind of to dig through. Do you think this is the right decision to stick with what you got, with the front runners being Jake Retzlaff, Gary Bohannon, who split first team reps during spring camp, or do you think they should be looking a little farther?
I think they're making the right decision. I think it does wonders too for the quarterbacks. Hearing that after spring practices, to say, "Hey, we're confident in the two that we have," or more than the two, our focus goes towards the quarterback battle. I think it's going to build a lot of confidence within the team to not even focus on kind of the outside noise of who could we possibly get. Somebody didn't have a great spring practice. Are we set up for success? I think it just builds a lot of confidence riding with your guys.
Yeah.
And I think they're great players. They come with different, similar skill sets, but different experience. You've got Gary Bohannon, who he's played a lot of Division I football snaps. So he comes with that maturity. I think as he continues to learn the offense, I think the quarterback battle will get stronger.
Mm-hmm.
With that said, I think Jake has the edge.
Yeah.
And if I was picking somebody today, I would definitely ride with him. And he had a fabulous spring practice as well. I think I heard Aaron Roderick actually say 0 interceptions in 15 practices. That was Jake's question mark, was his ability to protect the football, because he is a little bit reckless, and what makes him great can also be his downfall with that kind of mentality and mindset. But then to come see him mature after just a couple starts last season to make the progression that he did and not throw an interception. Hopefully the DBs weren't dropping him on purpose.
Yeah, now we're questioning everything we thought was true.
Right.
Maybe Brian's been in these guys' ears to say, "Hey, I like Jake.
If you want
this
Jake,
is what I did. We got another Jake here." I doubt they did that, but I mean that's really good ball control, and you need that in a quarterback. And so I would imagine that that's their plan. But with the skill set that Gary has, I don't think it's closed, and that they can't, fully declare that Jake's the guy, because they've got a really capable backup.
Yeah.
That's got to be interesting now that you guys are a little bit older and removed from the program, when you look at some of the psychological things that the coaches play in a good way. Because you mentioned okay, they're going to say this to instill that confidence in these quarterbacks, right? So whether they, as the coaches, 100% think these are for sure the guys that we want, they know if we say this, that's going to help these players a lot.
Absolutely.
So A-Rod was asked what the number one thing he's looking for in a starting quarterback was, and he said, "The guy that takes best care of the ball and moves the team the best, it's those two things combined." Pilo, what are you looking for in a starting quarterback?
A leader, first and foremost. And a leader, I say it like this with Max. If Max... He was my quarterback my junior year. If he got up in the middle of practice and stood on a bench and said, "Let's go run on the streets and screw practice, let's go run," I'd be like, "Yeah, let's go. Yeah, yeah." So somebody that, you have enough faith in and trust in, somebody that you believe in, to where you would literally go against, you know, everybody else, even their coaches, to quit practice and run on, you know, Center Street in Provo. Somebody that you can follow,
yeah.
Right? That's what I mean by leader. Because I think individually as football players, especially at this level, we're all leaders. We were all captains in junior college, in high school, right? But there's another level that you have to have at this when you get here at Division I football, especially, you know, playing in a Power Five conference. And so what I like about Jake is the fire that he had. It reminds me a lot of Max. So it's one, yeah, I could be a leader, I could rah-rah, I could motivate you guys. But then, you know, when a DB's getting an interception, he's the first one on the field to congratulate him, right?
Yeah.
You know, he when somebody breaks a 80-yard, you know, run, he's the first one down there, you know, congratulating him and getting hyped and getting juiced. And when the defense is making plays, he's, you know, the camera, you can see the camera is on him on the sideline, and he's jumping up and down. He's not on the bench, you know, drinking water and resting. So that's somebody that is invested into every single player in the program. He wants success for everybody. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of player, or that's the type of quarterback that I want, is that, you know, he's invested in me, and he's not even on the same side of the ball as me. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? He's really invested in the team, where he's willing to go all out, and that's somebody that I want to go all out and play for as well.
I like that. And I haven't seen Gary Bohannon play. I've seen, like, highlights of him. Seems like such an incredible and very nice guy. But I have seen that from Jake Retzlaff. I feel like he does,
yeah,
have a lot of those characteristics you were saying. And so what about you? What are you looking for in a starting quarterback?
I would definitely double down on that comment. If you don't trust your quarterback or believe that you're going to put your body, sacrifice everything that you have for that guy, then it's probably not the right guy.
Yeah.
And that's the type of effect you need to have at the quarterback position. Whoever steps into that role, you automatically put on the mantle of the leader of this team. And if people don't believe that you're that person, then it can be detrimental, because football is the ultimate team sport, and you have to have that buy-in from everybody.
Yeah.
Because things aren't always going to go your way. And that's just football. There's going to be adversity, and you've got to continue to trust. On top of that, I'm a big fan of, you got to have a playmaker back there. There are going to be moments, third and longs,
yep,
where, yes, you want a guy that can march down the field and manage the game really well, protect the football. But at times, you do need someone that can make the explosive play.
Yeah.
You have to do it controlled, because you can't have one or the other. You've got to have a little bit of both. But someone that is going to be able to take an unfortunate situation, you know, starting the ball off on the 1 yard line, and someone's going to take 99 yards. It's going to take some big plays. It's going to take a playmaker back there that has the aggression, the drive, the confidence to go do whatever it takes and make the big play when it counts.
And you saw that a lot in probably Taysom Hill,
mm-hmm,
in his play.
Absolutely.
He's one of those guys you're like, well, he's going to make a play.
Yeah.
Like, it's,
yeah,
whether it's with his feet or with his arm, like, something's going to happen here. He's, yeah, not just going to stand still.
Yeah, you need that at the quarterback position, because it's not. And if we look back, too, at last season, they had some struggles, some major struggles in the run game. And at times, you do need someone to step up, and everyone's going to look first to the quarterback position.
Yeah. And you saw that with Max Hall as well. He was phenomenal,
yeah,
with that.
Yeah, Max. It's funny, because the first alumni game, you know, when we were down by whatever amount of points, and I was sad. We had like 4 seconds left, and my cousin Joe Sampson.
Were you guys
was
on opposite teams, by the way?
I don't think I played the first.
Oh,
yeah,
the
I don't
first
think he
one.
Played.
Oh,
yeah,
okay, this,
yeah,
is not this year.
So I was sad, and my cousin Joe Sampson, he was like, "Dude, we got the GOAT," and I was like, "GOAT," and he was like, "We got Max," and I was like, "Oh, you're right." And then I got up, and then we walked behind him, and then, you know, the last play came, and then he's like, "See, I told you while we were running. I told you. And so it goes back to that confidence and you know, that trust. We knew that if we, hey, as a defense, if we got the GOAT, we got Max. If we get the ball back, if we get a stop, let's get one stop. It's a little bit harder if we didn't have somebody like a Max or somebody that you can trust. As a defense, if it's, you know, 4 minute drill and the offense is trying to run the clock out, we're probably like, well, if we don't, we're not going to score anyway, guys. So, you know, it's less drive, it's less motivation. You know, you're not running as fast. You're not giving it your all, you know, without knowing that, hey, I have somebody behind us, you know, the offensive side, that can go down and, you know, win the game for us.
Coming up, we'll take a look at the defensive side of the ball and discuss how NIL has changed the game and if it's sustainable. This is Cougar Tailgate. Welcome back to Cougar Tailgate. I'm Lauren McClain with former BYU football standouts Mitch Juergens and Brian Logan. Before we discuss the defense, we're going to take a look at the wide receivers because they're a deep group with a lot of returning experience. You got Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, Parker Kingston, Keelan Marion, Darius Lassiter. They're adding in return missionaries Dominique McKenzie and Cody Haig. Tim Few's Tay Nakua will be in the mix. We all know that name very well. And a guy that was turning a lot of heads during spring ball is 6'5" redshirt freshman JoJo Phillips. BYU's receivers had a hard time getting separation last season. When you look at this long list of guys, is there enough of the is there enough there to wreak some havoc in the Big 12 this season, Mitch?
Yeah, there's definitely enough. And what's great about this group, we've seen a lot of flashes of greatness from all of them. Chase Roberts, Cody Epps, Darius Lassiter came on really strong at the end of the season. Parker Kingston has had his moments. Like you mentioned, I love the reports that are coming out on JoJo Phillips, just the big target, the athleticism that he has. There's definitely enough. The issue that we saw last year and what I would hope for in this season is, number one, they can all string it together and be all on the same page at the same time. We saw, we might have even talked about this the last time that we were on the show, or the last time I came on as a guest. There were way too many miscommunications from the receiver group. Yes, there was a lot of change. There was a lot of moving pieces on players taking different positions. And I just think that the more time you give them, you have a great spring practices. You've got off season. You go into fall camp again, and if they can focus on those things, you definitely have the talent, guys that can make plays and be almost the safety blankets to whoever's throwing the football to put them in a good position. With that said, they've got to hone their craft. I mean, Cody Epps wasn't Cody last season.
Right.
He's the guy that I look to when you talk about creating separation. He can be that guy. His explosiveness. I go back a couple years, and was it the when they played Notre Dame in Vegas? He had a couple of those. They used him in such a unique way, where his elusiveness, his quickness, got him that separation. And there were moments where he was so open, it made such an easy throw for Jaren Hall at that time.
Right.
With these quarterbacks, where we've seen some greatness, but we've also seen that they're going to need some help from the receiving crew. They've got to be dialed in on creating that separation. And that comes with being precise in your routes, getting your depth. You've got to be, again, on the same page of these quarterbacks so they know when you're going to be at a specific spot at what time. And they've just got to be super disciplined. And I don't think we saw too much of that discipline last season. The talent's there. As long as the mindset's there, then I don't think there should be any issues.
It's got to be hard on these wide receivers. They had a lot more pressure on them last year than they did with Jaren Hall the year before, because there wasn't a running quarterback. There wasn't a dual threat quarterback, right? And that's got to make a difference for the wide receivers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But I think maybe even more impactful was just the lack of the presence of the run game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You saw this in the Big 12. I mean, these are very, very athletic secondaries, and all of a sudden, when BYU has identified themselves as a team that cannot run the football, you walk these cornerbacks up, linebackers up on slot receivers, safeties play a little bit closer, and these man coverages get really, really tight, and it does. It puts so much pressure on, number one, the receivers to do their job and get open, but the quarterbacks to have impeccable timing to take advantage of that. And so in my opinion, yes, the running quarterback, it definitely helps because it creates those open spots on the field that maybe you wouldn't have because you have to take a account for the quarterback and where he's going to be and can he run. But more importantly, you have to establish the line of scrimmage, run the football, because then that is going to put some focus there. They've got to bring their linebackers in, maybe stack the box a little bit to stop the run, and then all of a sudden that opens up more.
All right, now from the defensive side, in Jay Hill's first season as D coordinator, the Cougars had just 11 sacks and allowed 417 yards of offense and 29.8 points per game. That number increased to 37.6 points per game during the final five-game stretch of last year. B-Lo, where do you think the defense is going to take and needs to take the biggest strides this upcoming season?
First of all, I just want to say that that stat is skewed because of the turnovers that the offense, created.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's smiling at me. This is the war between, you know, the defense and the offense. But you know, there was times, and we could blame Jake for this because he had a lot of turnovers when he started, which, you know, is unfortunate. But yeah, you give another team, you know, opportunities to score and give them short fields. You know, it's a tough burden to bear for a defense. But you know, other than that, I think the biggest thing that they need to prove is just D-line and getting more pressure on the quarterback. I think secondary is solid. You have solid linebackers, a lot of guys that are coming back, right? You may miss a guy here, miss a guy there, but second string in both of those position groups are guys that I want to say experience, but experience in regards to maturity and how long they've been in the program, but there's nothing like game experience,
yeah.
Right? And so I'm not too concerned there. My biggest thing is just getting pressure on the quarterback. It doesn't matter how, you know, good your secondary is and how athletic they are. If the quarterback has, you know, 8 seconds to the ball, and you know, Lauren, you can go back there and throw it. You know what I mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
Be successful. Yeah, you know what? You are. That's a bad example. You are. I can go back there and throw.
Brian could go back there.
I could go back there and throw the ball. You know, with that amount of time. And so, you know, I know that they're so. This is what's interesting too with Coach Hill. Like, those weren't his guys. You had Eddie and you had Cam, right? The guys that transferred. Those were his guys.
And, yeah. they played well.
Yeah, they right. played very well.
Exactly. Now, imagine when he starts to bring his own guys in, right? And this year is going to be the first year that he's bringing his guys in. The guys that he recruited. What I mean by that is the team last year, he didn't recruit those guys. They were kind of
He inherited those guys.
Yes, he inherited. Yes, great word. And so what you're going to start to see over the years, and hopefully it's accelerated, right, is guys that he knows that can fit his scheme and fit his system that can come in and make a, you know, a pretty good impact. Because right now he's saying, okay, this is, you know, what I have. What skill sets do each individual guys, like, what are their skill sets and how can I use them, you know, to put them in the best situation possible to be successful. And so he had to learn all of that, right? So he's probably like in week five, like, oh, shoot, that guy can't do that. Okay, let's switch it around. You know what I mean? So not only did we see a huge improvement from, you know, last, you know, the previous year and the staff, he was doing this, you know, still trying to get situated and figure out, you know, the pieces that he has. And so I think this year, you know, with the recruiting class that he has and maybe some, you know, some transfers, right, that came in, I think you'll see a pretty big improvement.
Yeah, Jack Kelly, he's brought in from Weber State as well, and he's supposed to have a big impact. That guy is strong. That guy is crazy strong. I'm excited to see what he can do. The transfer portal opens up again on April 16th for NCAA football. Where do you guys think BYU needs to focus on the most when the portal opens? They're not going to do quarterback. They're probably not looking for many wide receivers. Where do you think they're going to look?
I think your primary target is offensive line.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to last season, the run game struggled. You also bring in a new offensive line coach, TJ Woods. He's coming with a ton of fire. I think if he gets the right group, it's not to say that the guys there aren't capable. I think they are, but you need depth and you need guys that are going to push the envelope. I think you could take advantage there and really start to strengthen the offense from the line of scrimmage. Because again, like you mentioned, receivers, I have confidence in them. They're strong. I think the running back room is really strong with some of the returners that they have. Quarterbacks look good. Tight ends as well. I mean, there's with Keanu Hill making the transition there, I think he's going to have, and not to talk too much about him, but that is the right fit for Keanu Hill.
You like that move.
I love it. He's a big target. He's comfortable anywhere on the field, and BYU's had a lack, or their offense has had a lack of presence over the middle. I think he can be that fix. And so anyway, to sidestep, offensive line is the number one spot I think this team needs to target. And if they can land a couple good guys, get them under a really good coaching scheme and program with TJ Woods, I think that could be a really good combination heading into fall camp.
Yeah, I like that. What about you, B-Lo?
This I'm going to give you a B-Lo answer. I don't know if they should get anybody at this stage. If you think about it, all the best or best available transfer portal guys are probably already gone, right? If you're in the transfer portal now as an athlete, as a football player coming out of spring ball, it probably means you're not going to start, right? And so you have starters that you know have experience, they play, they have film, they made some type of impact, and then they're in the portal, you know, months ago. So now you have guys, you know, that are on the roster and go, okay, so and so, you know, he transferred or he's in the portal. Now I'm in a position where I can fight for the number one spot. I go into spring ball, I don't get that number one spot, I'm going to go to the transfer portal. Well, I mean, that means if the first guy that, you know, was in the transfer portal, that, if he stayed, that means you're third on the depth chart.
Yeah,
does BYU really want to get
if these guys are coming from like Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee, I'll take them. Come on in. Join us.
Maybe.
It kind of probably depends on where they're coming from.
Well,
right?
I think you make a good point, but you also have to understand too that just because there are 4-star and 5-star kids that are going to Bama, Tennessee, or whatever. Well, first thing I'll say is this: if they're second, third string on Bama or Tennessee or whatever, they're probably not coming to BYU. I'm just saying, right? Realistically,
the Lord works in mysterious ways.
You know what?
Ways,
I would.
Right?
I'm not saying I wouldn't want them. I'm just saying they're probably not going to, right? Because a kid that has 5 offers from out of high school, Bama, Texas, you know, whatever. Those coaches are still going to remember them. So he's like, hey, coach, it didn't work out at Georgia. You know, can I come to Texas? Oh,
yeah.
Please. You know what I'm saying? And so just being realistic. And then thinking about the type of guys that BYU can get, right, which are, you know, middle of Power 5 schools to bottom tier, you know, Power 5 schools to even G5 schools. So, again, with the timing of it, do you really want a G5, you know, third string, you know, whatever? I told you I was giving you a B-low answer. You know what I mean? So to me, you would have to find like
the perfect fit.
It would be more of a quality versus a quantity type of thing. Like, oh man, this just dropped in our laps. Like it would have to be a decision where they would have to make a decision or they would have to really offer this kid. Like it would have to be one of those type of scenarios, right? So. With that being said, if you have a scenario like that, take any position, right? In any kid, any position, if it's too good to be true, if you can't pass it up, then go ahead and offer that kid.
Well, and I think it's more about the player than it is the school as well, because you look last year, Camden Garrett, Eddie Heckard came from Weber State, and those two were two of the best players we had on defense.
Yeah. Right. And two of the best in the Big 12
yeah.
to an extent,
no, they were,
right?
They were spectacular. And so if it's the right player, I think you take advantage of it. And in my opinion, I think corner actually might be a spot. I know that there's some promise about some of the guys that would potentially come in and take their place. Jacob Robinson is obviously he had a really good spring ball, and he's got so much experience. I think he's going to be a staple mark on the defense, but I think there are just questions about that second corner position.
Yeah.
Is it Mori Bamba? Is it, a Marcus McKenzie? But guys that are not proven yet. And so if the right player, I would say maybe it's a cornerback.
Yeah.
If the right
yeah.
player is available.
And see, again, based off of the timing, right, I would almost go to the JC route than the transfer portal. Now obviously you have to, you know, weigh it.
You're
but,
not biased or anything.
Well, the reason why I say JC is because the time for a JC is to transfer is December, right? So you come in January and you know you're on your way. But a lot of JC kids don't focus on academics, and so they end up needing to take, you know, more school, and so they end up coming in and transferring, you know, really late. So when I came in, we brought in 3 JC transfers. I committed to San Diego State, so my scholarship got taken away. So I ended up coming in spring. The other two guys, they couldn't come until fall. So, and I ended up starting, right? So that was huge as far as, you know, me getting here earlier. But again, you know, going back to, you know, all of us, they came in the fall, and they still were productive. Like Corby Eason, after I started, he started like 2 years and was productive. So you can find a quality type of guy at the JC ranks that just maybe has some academic delays, yeah. right? And still, you know, be able
They're trying
compete.
To get there.
Yeah.
They're trying to get there. Yeah. I like that perspective. Okay, really, really quick. This is my last question for you guys. Give me a rapid fire answer. When you guys see all the money floating around with NIL and college football, that's one of the reasons these guys transfer too. They're like, who's going to give me the more money, right? Does it make you slightly jealous wishing you could play in this era, or are you glad the added complication wasn't there?
You want a B-low answer?
Always.
it's such a hard thing. I think I look back at my time as a player, and I'll keep this brief. Playing when we played, it was so special. Like you don't find the relationships that you built in the locker room. You're not going to find that today because there's too much turnover,
right?
With programs and to see players develop from freshmen, they're like, "Who the heck is this guy? This guy's never going to play," and then they turn into stars junior and senior year. You're not going to see that anymore with the transfer portal, with NIL money floating around, and there's just so much rapid fire. So part of my answer is going to say, "No, I don't want the money because I cherish that time and what was built." However, as a college kid, to set off your career, I mean, it's hard to fault these players to go after the money because this is a financial decision. Who knows what's after college football? And if they have an opportunity to make some money, it's hard to blame them.
And with inflation these days,
gosh.
Take the money where you can get. What do you think, Milo?
I'm mad and pissed off every day.
Because you didn't get
every
money.
Every time we talk about it, every time we bring it up.
But you have to agree with Mitch a little bit that the camaraderie that you get when that wasn't a thing and guys kind of stayed where they're at, it's not quite there anymore.
I'm mad and I'm pissed off.
I think the
opportunity these guys have to jumpstart their lives is
phenomenal.
And that's why I'm mad and pissed off because
but you're happy for those who
No.
I'm trying to help you end. I'm trying to help you end on a positive note here.
I saw a group of guys, the secondary guys. I couldn't see because they had windows. Their windows were tinted, but I was coming out the hospital here in Provo, and they were in like this Mercedes, and I was like, what? You know, I drive a Mercedes. I drive a Mercedes now, and I'm like, you know how long it took me to get this? That's why I'm mad.
That's where your money went. All right, that does it for us today. Thanks again to Mitch Juergens and Brian Logan for coming on the show with me. Carter Bond and Tori Kimball helped produce this episode with senior producer Terry South. You can join the Cougar Tailgate wherever you get your podcasts, on Apple, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or on BYUradio.org. Cougar Tailgate is a production of BYU Radio.